Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm really excited about Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. It's my newest book. It releases August 15th, and I'm really trying to deal with the question, is God angry, violent, and retributive, or not? I know there are ways of reading the Bible that can paint that kind of portrait, but is it true? Anyway, that's what I'm dealing with in the new book, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. I'm excited about it.
Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love upon the hardwood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Today is both Transfiguration Sunday and track 2 of Finding God on Your iPod 2017. Every August here at Word of Life Church, we embark on the most well-loved series at Word of Life. How many years we've been doing this? I don't even know. Anyone know? 9, I think. This is the 9th year of Finding God on Your iPod. Soon, we'll have to figure out a new title. If Apple stops making iPods, we're in trouble. We'll just call it Throwback to Finding God on Your iPod. I don't know. But we're in good territory here. Apple still makes iPods, and we're still doing Finding God on Your iPod. And you might be wondering, what in the world is Finding God on Your iPod? Well, in the words of Pastor Brian last week, we are taking smart contemporary songs that speak to our culture and connecting or contrasting them with the wisdom of Jesus. Taking smart contemporary songs that speak to our culture and connecting them or contrasting them with the wisdom of Jesus. As for the Transfiguration, today we celebrate the glory of God revealed fully in Jesus. He is the clear image, the exact icon of the invisible God. Amen? Amen. Today, as we meditate on the Transfiguration of Jesus, the passage we heard in our gospel reading from Luke 9 this morning, we catch a glimpse of the hope for humanity. The hope as Jesus does at the Transfiguration, might recover the glory of God in our life. That the Transfiguration of Jesus is a foreshadowing of one day when we, as all of humanity, might recover the vocation which we were created in the beginning with, to reflect the glory of God into the world. The primary expression of God's glory, His image, His likeness and nature is love. Because God is love. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the beginning, those are special words. Those are the words which begin our entire holy story told throughout Scripture. In the beginning, God created mankind in His image, to be a reflection of His glory into the created world. And we, with creation, were declared by God to be very good. It was very good in the beginning. And yet, with the pride of Adam and Eve to seek their own way outside of the ways of God, followed by the jealous fear and malice of Cain towards Abel, brother killing brother, the dream of humanity as a beacon of the goodness and glory of God in this world was rained out. We lost our purpose and our place. I know that in my own life, I've experienced times when God's image was lost or marred in me, whether by my own sin or maybe the sin of someone else, sinned against me, someone who trespassed into my life and left a wreckage of broken pieces. We've all experienced and participated in this wreckage of our original created place and purpose in the world. At some extent, we've all experienced what it means to be marred by sin, whether our own or someone else's, to lose the image of God in our life. Have you ever felt lost? And I don't just mean physically lost, but have you ever felt like you've lost yourself? That the person you are and the life that you're living is in some ways not on track. Something is wrong. Something has gone awry. It's this place of lostness, that our song today was written from. Our artist this morning for track two of Finding God on Your iPod is none other than Damien Rice. Well, maybe. There he is. Damien Rice, Irish singer-songwriter. And Damien Rice is a personal favorite of mine when it comes to musicians, artists. In fact, during my college years, when I was dating my wonderful wife, Megan, Damien Rice was on the soundtrack that we fell in love to in college. We'd often listen to Damien Rice together, and it brings back fond memories. You know, music has a way of doing that. I hear certain songs and it'll take me right back to a place. So I love hearing the voice of Damien Rice. It takes me to a good place. I hope it does for you this morning as well. Damien has a raw and authentic sound and an overwhelming passion, as any Irish singer-songwriter should have. And in fact, he, like any good Irish singer-songwriter, cut his teeth as a musician, busking on the streets of cities all over Europe. In fact, before he released his debut album, after a few failed attempts at being in bands, he went off to Tuscany and became a farmer. And then on the weekends and in the evenings would go into town and busk on the streets, earning his wages as a musician, just being kind of a ragtag hoodlum on the streets. And that really is who Damien still is today. In 2002, he released his debut album entitled O. And O reached number 8 on the UK albums chart, won the Shortlist Music Prize, and generated 3 top 30 singles in the UK. Damien released his second album entitled 9 in 2006. But then, after those two albums and he acquired world fame, he had made it as a musician, he went silent for 8 years. He disappeared. He wasn't touring. He had a few failed collaborations. But as a musician, Damien Rice, in one way or another, disappeared. 8 years later, he debuted his latest album. My Favorite Faded Fantasy is the album's title. And when he was interviewed, coming back onto the scene, he was asked this question: Damien, where have you been for the last 8 years? And here's his answer. Damien said, I've been in a drain pipe, scraping off the scum that built up over the years and blocked up my pipes. I've been down there in the ugly places inside. He said, I was destroying my life, destroying my perception of everything I had about life and how I was living life, until I got to a place where everything fell apart. And when I was in a place where everything had fallen apart, I could now start to put things back together. Have you ever been at that place? The place where everything's fallen apart, the ugly places of life, where we feel that all has been destroyed? It's from this place of hopeless brokenness that we often wonder, is there hope for the future? We know what has happened in the past. In fact, the place where we are now is defined by what has happened in our past. And we look towards the future asking, is there a hope for my future? Is there any hope that we might find ourselves again? Is there any hope for humanity to ever recover our place and our purpose in this world? Is there hope for the future? Church, I have good news for you this morning. I've got great news for you this morning. You know, we call that gospel. The good news this morning for you is there is hope for the future. If you find yourself in this place of being lost, broken, hopeless this morning, my message for you this morning is that there is hope for the future. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. The transfiguration of Jesus foreshadows God's restoration project for all of us, for you and for me. The Creator God, our good Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is restoring His image, His likeness, His goodness and glory in us. That's the work that He's doing. He's a restoration artist. Now, the image of God that we bear, yes, we bear it individually so that each of us carries in us somewhere, even among the wreckage, a piece of the image of God on our lives. But I'd like us to also reflect on the fact that God is three in one. You know that we are Trinitarian here. We believe that God is Trinity. Three persons, one God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, but there is one God. It's a mystery, but we confess it. And God, as Trinity, dwells together in holy community, in perfect unity. And this is the image that we reflect, so that no man can be an island unto himself, so that we hear the words of God in the creation story when He speaks to Adam, human, and He says, "It is not good that you dwell alone." If we are created in the image of God, we are created to be a people of holy community, a people who come together in perfect unity. To reflect the image of God into creation and into our world, we must come together. We must be reconciled. At the core of our brokenness is our sin against God, that leads us then to our sin against neighbor. And thus the commandment from Jesus that restores everything that has gone wrong, when He sums it all up like this, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're in tandem, inseparable. Miroslav Volf, renowned author and modern-day voice of forgiveness and reconciliation, boldly claims that a vision of reconciliation lies at the core of the Christian faith. A vision of reconciliation, both with God and neighbor, lies at the core, at the heart, at the center of the Christian faith. And I wholeheartedly agree with him. But we have lost our way, both with God and each other. That much is evident. But my hope is that we might find ourselves again. This hope of Transfiguration Sunday and the hope of Damien Rice in his song, Trusty and True, is that we might find ourselves again. That we might start now and here in this work of reconciliation. I invite you this morning, church, no matter where you find yourselves on life journey, to find the glimmer of hope embodied in this song, Trusty and True. And maybe even hear Jesus speaking to you this morning through these words. This is Trusty and True by Damien Rice.
To be trusty and true, but feathers fell from our wings, and we've wanted to be. be. Worthy of you, but whether rained on our dreams, and we can't take back what is done, what is past. So, fellas, lay down your fears, 'cause we can't take back what is done, what is past. So let us start from here. Oh, and if all that you are is not all you desire, then come. Come alone, come with fear, come with love, come however you are. Just come alone, come with friends, come with foes, come. Come, come alone, come with me, then let go, come however you are, just
Trusty and True by Damien Rice. There's a lot of truth in that song. Here are the words once again that he begins with. We've wanted to be trusty and true, but feathers fell from our wings. And we've wanted to be worthy of you, but weather rained out on our dreams. And we can't take back what is done, what is past. So fellas, lay down your fears. Lay down your spears. Because we can't take back what is done, what is past. So, let us start from here. in our hopes that God one day would make all that has gone wrong with the world right again. I want to tell you that that kind of justice, the justice of God, which makes all things right, does not turn a blind eye to the evil deeds that has been done, that have been done in the past. We cannot turn a blind eye to the past, to the evil deeds done. We cannot ignore the suffering, pain, wounds, and scars that such evil has left upon our lives or the lives of those whom we have sinned against. We must acknowledge that, yes, we've wanted to be trusty and true, but we failed. That we had dreams of what humanity could be, but they've been rained out. We have to be honest about the pain, suffering, failure, and sin. But in our honesty about evil in the world, we can neither turn a blind eye to the image of God, which still exists even in every evildoer. No, we can't take back what is done, what is past, but we must recognize that sin has its destructive consequences. We can't take it back. We've got to live with what's been done, that we as a sinner have done. And we have to live with the sins sinned against us. We can't put our head in the sand and exist that these and pretend that these things didn't exist or didn't happen. The justice of God does not neglect the reality of sin, pain, and suffering, but rather acknowledges sin, stares sin right in the face, speaks directly to sin, and in fact, in Christ, God takes sin upon himself personally. So that whatever pain you've experienced, that Christ on the cross is in solidarity with you in that pain and in that suffering. God sees and even experiences every consequence of sin and then moves to make things right which have gone so terribly wrong. And to the sinners there at that cross who have sinned these sins into Jesus, what is his response? Vengeance? No. Forgiveness. So that both sinner and the one sinned against can find healing and reconciliation at the cross of Christ. As we seek to find ourselves again, to find our place and purpose in the world which we're lost in sin, we must both hold two truths in tandem, simultaneously acknowledging the evil which has been done and the goodness of God that still exists. We hold both realities at the same time, the sin that's been committed and the goodness and love of God that still exists in the world. As we read the news, as we look around, as we live our lives, we can no doubt claim that there is no evil in the world left, that Jesus has come and everything has been made right. We're in process. We're in the tension between the truth that evil exists, but yet the love and goodness and glory of God has now been shown in the world. The light has come and the darkness will not overcome it. Amen. I believe, as much as I would want to, that we cannot crawl into a hole and ignore the damage of sin in ourselves, our neighbor, and in our world. But as we acknowledge our own troubled state, we also cling to this hope of a renewed vision of reconciliation, a vision where all things are made right. This is why our eschatology, what we believe about what will happen at the end of the age, is so important as Christians. What we believe about the end gives us a perspective on what's happening now. What we believe about what will come affects how we hope for things that are happening to us now. And I love Revelation 21, which says this beautiful, beautiful prophetic vision of what will happen at the end of the age. It says that Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Just receive that this morning. Do you have tears cried that no one knows about silently? Jesus will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne says, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I'm telling you is trusty and true." You know that we are the ones who wanted to be trusty and true. We were created to reflect the goodness and glory of God's faithfulness into the world. And we failed. The weather rained out our dream. But God said, "I am the one who still speaks a word that is trusty and true. And this is what I say to you, the thing that you can count on. I'm making everything new. I'm making everything new. I'm setting everything right." And he goes on to say, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life." John the Revelator continues this prophetic vision in Revelation 21, talking about a city. Within this new creation, God is making all things new. He talks about a city coming down that's a new city where Jesus is king. And it's in the midst of this world where the old world, the things have passed, what's been done is done, and now it's passing away, and a new world is created, a new heavens and a new earth. If you don't believe me, pick up your Bible today. You got Wi-Fi, get on your Bible, on your phone, read it. Revelation 21, a new heaven, a new earth. And there will be this city, a new capital city where Jesus reigns as king. And this city will have gates that are always open, never shut. Because no longer is this new world founded on fear of brother killing brother, but rather founded in this extreme hospitality that we see on the cross of open arms, open gates. We get to tear down our defenses. A vision of hope for the future is a city where Jesus is reigning and ruling, and there is no darkness, there is no night. And from this place, the throne of Jesus, flows a river of living water. And on its banks grow these trees, which have leaves that John says heal the nations. So that we see this picture that John paints, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to paint a picture for us of the hope to come, where every nation, every tribe, and every tongue gather there at the throne of Jesus in worship of the world's true and good and just King. At the end, Jesus brings all things together to himself, reconciling every kind of person, every nation, tribe, and tongue to himself and to one another. This is the vision of reconciliation that Miroslav Volf speaks of that is at the core of our Christian faith. In Revelation 22, the vision continues, and it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this come. Let anyone who is thirsty, let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Come." That's the word from this holy city. Anyone who is thirsty, come. Just come. However you are, come. Come alone. Come. Come with me. Come with friend. Come with foe. Just come to the river that flows with living water. These words in Revelation echo the words of Jesus in John 7, where he stood and shouts to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And what are these living waters that Jesus invites all of us, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, to drink from? Pope Francis says it this way: "The living water that is the Holy Spirit quenches our lives because it tells us that we are loved by God as his children, that we can love God as his children, that by his grace we can live as children of God as Jesus did. This new life within believers has the effect of giving them a new vision of others, near and far, seen always as brothers and sisters in Jesus to be respected and loved." It's the new vision of reconciliation. It's that vision of all things being made right between us and God and us and one another. This is the hope that we hold to. To find ourselves again, we must find our way back to God, to right living with each other. We must learn to lay down our fears and lay down our spears, lay down our insecurities, our fear that we won't have enough, our fear that we won't be good enough, our fear that what's happened in the past will happen again. We have to lay them down and come together. And who gets to come? What are the criteria? Who gets in on this vision of reconciliation, this new world that God is creating? We come up with all kinds of lists of criteria, whether subconsciously or consciously, don't we? Especially in church, unfortunately. We expect people to dress a certain way, act a certain way, speak a certain way. Some of you have grown up in churches with a long list of criteria to be able to come to the Lord. So that the pattern becomes, unfortunately, in our religious systems at times, that you have to behave right. And then after we get your behavior squared away, then we got to teach you how to believe right. Here's all the things you've got to believe. And then after you behave right and believe right, then we'll let you belong. Right? But I believe as we look at Jesus and the pattern of his life, he seems to flip everything upside down. And he just says, come, belong. I'm a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I hang out with prostitutes. Those people that everyone else has written off, the outcast, the sick, the lame, the homeless, those are the people that I invite to come. Are you thirsty? Are you in lack, in need? Then come, belong. And as you belong, and as we become a community of radical hospitality, open doors like that New Jerusalem. And we just say to anyone and everyone who's in lack and need and would say, are you thirsty? Are you lost? Then just come. Come to Word of Life. Come to the church that Jesus is building. And they begin to belong here. They begin to experience a love from God and us that begins to change what they believe about the world that they've come to know and the God that they thought they knew. Their beliefs begin to change and transform as they belong. And then as our beliefs begin to change and transform, our behavior then might just begin to be transformed as well. So that the pattern should be belong, believe, and then behavior will take care of itself. Amen. May Word of Life Church be a place where people belong. If you feel lost, you belong here. If you feel lonely, you belong here. If you feel like you've been marred by sin, your own or someone else's who sinned against you, you belong here. As we gather at the table of the Lord every Sunday, which we will do here in just a moment, it reminds us of the words that the Spirit and the Bride say in Revelation 22. Come. Are you thirsty? Come. Every Sunday, we become a small picture of the new world that we hope for, where whoever walks through the doors meets here at this table, at the cross of Christ, where his body is broken that we might be made whole, where his blood is shed that we might get a renewed and new vision of what God is really like, that God is love, self-sacrificing, all-loving, forgiving, unconditional love. And we're reminded of those things at this table as we gather from all kinds of demographics, the rich and the poor, the sick and the healthy, the in and the out, the cool and the not cool, the people born on the right side of the tracks and the wrong. Black, white, yellow, red, it doesn't matter what color. We all come here as the children of a loving Father, created in the image of God. And as we gather at this table, we begin to restore that image, the glory, goodness, and love of God in our lives. And we get a little picture of the world to come here at this table. Amen. Would you stand on your feet this morning with me? I invite you to